Now, what's the reaction in the medical world and in families affected by brain cancer to Evian Daly's groundbreaking work in developing a brain cancer diagnosis tool for which the Tralee student won the overall prize at the Stripe Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition? Well, with me on the line to talk about this is John Caird, who is a paediatric consultant neurosurgeon and has strong connections with the charity Brain Tumour Ireland. John, thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning on the programme. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I get your first of all your reaction to the fact that Evian won and the area that she's been working in and what she's managed to develop?
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement for such a young person to have come up with such a novel approach to the investigation and advance of management of brain tumours. So it's tremendous to see such a great ability at such a young age.
Indeed. She works in the area of glioblastoma. Tell me a bit about that and what effect it's been having. And one of the things that prompted her to concentrate on it was she was just so shocked at the survival rate from it, the low survival rate.
Glioblastoma affects a little less than 1 in 10,000 people per year in Ireland. So it's a rare tumour. It's not like the common cancers we see, lung, breast, colon, prostate. They're the sort of common cancers that they're screened for. These are rare tumours, rare malignant tumours of the brain that arise primarily in the brain itself. They don't spread from other parts of the body. And I suppose one of the things that's most notable about it is that despite the advances we have in treatment and radiotherapy and surgery and chemotherapy, there's been really very little progress in the survival chance for these patients. And so that it's up there with pancreatic cancer as being a sort of lethal diagnosis. It's a very devastating, although rare, devastating diagnosis for a family to receive.
And with that in mind, then how valuable is it what she has done? How difficult can it be to even the whole issue of a biopsy in that sensitive part of the body can cause damage? Yeah. So she's able maybe this work can reduce that.
Indeed. So when a patient presents with symptoms that might suggest a brain tumour, they would have a brain scan done, usually initially a CAT scan, and then subsequently an MRI scan. And there are certain features on the scan that would suggest that a glioblastoma is a possibility. However, currently the treatment of standard of care is to do a biopsy or a resection. If it's a very large, bulky tumour, we often remove as much as we safely can. But for those where the tumour is in a very sensitive, delicate area, we may just do a needle biopsy. It's like a long, hollow knitting needle placed accurately into the lesion and samples taken from that. Now, if there were significant advances in the imaging abilities to give us a definitive answer, then such as what Evian has suggested in her study, we may be able to avoid doing a biopsy. And that would be a great advantage, because every procedure on the brain has a degree of risk, including causing hemorrhage or stroke. So if we can do a non-invasive test, such as an advanced MRI scan with AI capability, then that might, in the future, change how we do these things.
John, do we need more research in the area, or is that just a crazily obvious answer to a question?
No, we do, and I think the advances in AI, we've seen them in facial recognition. For example, on Instagram, it can spot people's faces automatically with facial recognition technology. Well, it would be a sort of a cousin of that to look at pattern recognition on scans. It's already being used in for example, looking at chest X-rays to pick up pneumonias and things, or cancers of the lung and things like that, or in mammogram, it's also being trialed there. So I think it makes sense that it also be used in brain imaging.
Yeah, and that is an area that needs more funding, needs more concentration, and needs more work.
Indeed, and hopefully Evian will, she's clearly shown great ability at a very young age. She will go on to do tremendous things and perhaps do a PhD in medical imaging going forward and advance all of our knowledge in this critical area.
Why doesn't this area of cancer get more funding for research? Is it because obviously the rarity is a point of view? Obviously it's a factor.
Yeah, the squeaky wheels always get the grease, and primary brain cancers are rare. They don't affect a huge number of people. But they are very often have a devastating effect on those patients and their families. But I think, you know, funding generally goes towards where the huge numbers are, and those would be the much more common cancers, the cervical, the breast, the lung, the prostate, those things, colorectal. they're the things that everyone would know somebody who has a cancer of that nature in their circle of friends, but very few people would know a patient with primary brain tumor.
Yeah. And is part of it because it's so difficult to detect in early stages? And with that in mind, John, like, what are the symptoms people should be watching out for in terms of perhaps maybe a brain tumor?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, brain tumors can come in various shapes and sizes, and they can cause headaches. But headaches are a very common symptom. So we're to scan everybody who has got a headache. You know, the scanners would be overrun. So we have to filter into people who have recurrent headaches or new symptoms such as speech difficulties. They can present a bit like a stroke. You know, speech difficulties or weakness down one side of the body, or difficulty with vision, or sometimes epileptic seizures. So there's a whole variety, depending on what part of the brain is affected, a variety of symptoms and signs that may arise. So it's difficult to pigeonhole them into one group. They all present slightly differently.
That is part of it. But the key thing is, if you see those symptoms or feel them, then just get them checked out, and
absolutely,
the earlier the diagnosis,
yeah,
the better.
Indeed. So sometimes we get an early warning. If somebody has a seizure, they may have a small lesion on the surface of the brain that can be removed. And sometimes it can be in a very more silent area of the brain and doesn't present until much later when it's a very large lesion, and therefore the survival is less for those patients. So it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag, certainly. And it can be challenging for general practitioners and emergency doctors to pick these things up, because they mimic so many other things. You know, it could be, you know, migraines and so forth. But certainly if somebody has concerns in that regard, they should present to their local doctor or their local emergency department.
Okay, brilliant. John, thanks for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning. Brain Tumour Ireland, by the way, is a brilliant website to check out if you want more information on how you can help, or more information if you need it or you need support. It's braintumourireland.com is the website to go to, which will give you all the details there on symptoms, on support, on research and fundraising as well. They're always looking for more support. That's John Caird there with us on the line talking about that. He's a paediatric consultant, neurosurgeon, who's done a lot of work with Brain Tumour Ireland over the last number of years.